And now, here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
Hey, it's me, actually, this time. Glad to be with you here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Yes, indeed, I am back. The Cobra is back. The boys are back in town right here on the Sports Hub. 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online, of course, at hubcityradio.com. A lot to get to today. We'll get to the jump here shortly. Towards the bottom of the hour, some high school girls hoops talk with the head coach of the Ipswich Tigers. He, of course, is Brian Hoagie. We'll have him towards the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to that discussion with him, as always, a friend of the program. Minnesota Vikings enter week 18, if you can believe it, 14-2, and an opportunity for the number one overall seed in the conference. We'll talk about that. Northern State is back in action here tonight, as well as Aberdeen Central tomorrow for the boys. And also, Roncalli boys are back on the road tonight. We've got broadcasts all over the place. We'll talk about all of that and much more today during the show. Plus, don't forget, at the top of the 12 o'clock hour, another Sideliners Luncheon Series over at Buffalo Wild Wings. So if you're thinking lunch, what do I do today for lunch? Swing on by Buffalo Wild Wings today at 12 noon for another Sideliners Luncheon Series. That's today. But first, Matt McClure, good morning, sir. How are you? It's great to see you. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Doing very, very well. I'm feeling very rested, relaxed, refreshed.
Yeah, you look refreshed a little bit.
Do I?
Yeah, you do.
I feel like it. I slept like garbage last night. I don't know why. I mean, it's just, I feel good, though.
That's good.
It's very strange. But yeah, it was the time off. I think it'll do you well. And I will say that I was just excited just to get back in studio here and do this show and get on the mic tonight for Northern. You've got Central, of course, tomorrow for the boys, kind of a matinee there on Saturday at 3 o'clock as Yankton rolls into town. And just looking forward to a weekend of sports and week 18 in the NFL as well.
Yeah, it's a great weekend of sports. We were talking with Coach Nohrendorf yesterday.
By the way, so can I admonish myself for this
really quick? Oh, sure, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Coach Nohrendorf, if you're listening, Matt sent me a text message on Tuesday. He's like, hey, do you got Coach Nohrendorf's number? I do. And I had two numbers for him, and I sent Matt the wrong number. It's totally on me, and I feel like such a jack, you know what.
Oh, it's totally fine. We had a good conversation yesterday we were kind of even going back to, like, just old Aberdeen Roncalli days and things of that. Pretty fun discussion if you missed it. But, yeah, I mean, just talking to him yesterday, I was like, oh, I want to get back into the swing of things with sports. And we got a great schedule on tap. You mentioned it, Northern State. It feels like they haven't played in forever. Aberdeen Central, I haven't played in forever as well. They didn't play in that Hoop City Classic at the Corn Palace like a lot of teams did. So, yeah, just good to be back. And like you said, week 18, that's really hard to believe, in my opinion.
It always is. It always is so fast of a moving season. And we get so juiced up, so excited for week one. And oh my gosh, who's going to be that surprise team or a couple of surprise teams? And you blink your eyes, it's like week nine. And then the next thing you know, the playoffs are here. And the playoffs are starting up next weekend, and it's crazy. And, you know, you get to that, I still don't like it, the Saturday, Sunday, Monday deal. I think they're doing that again this year.
Yeah, remember they are.
The Monday night football there. I don't like it. I'm just a fan of the way it used to be. Here's Tukes yelling at the clouds again, but 16 games. It was just so clean. Those first two seeds got a bye. Can you imagine being the Vikings or the Lions and you've won 14 games and you got to play a first round wild card game? I mean, that's nuts to me.
And you're got to be on the road too. You're gonna have to be that five seed. If you lose that game, you're the five seed and got to go to either Atlanta or Tampa Bay in the wild card on probably a Monday night. Something crazy like that. That's a tough, tough game to play after you win 14 games. You're going to be 14-3 and be a wild card. Loser of that game.
That just doesn't make me feel right. And it is what it is, but I don't know, man. There's something about the whole 16-game schedule and those first two seeds get a first-round bye. There was something so special about it. And in the early 2010s, like 2012, 2013, 2014, the NFC West was far and away the best division in all of the NFC. This year, it's been the NFC North far and away. Any of those teams, Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit, wouldn't be surprised to see any of those teams make a deep run in January and February.
I agree. I just think the thing that's tough about it is a lot of those teams are going to have to play on the road, two of the three. I like all – Detroit would win the division, I like them in the NFC. If Minnesota comes out and they win the division, I like them. But those two other teams, they got a tough road ahead of them because they're going to be on the road unless an upset happens.
Yeah, wow. It's going to be very, very interesting. We're excited for playoff football. There's no two ways about that. And we'll certainly get into that discussion coming up later on in the program as time permits. But first and foremost, let's get to the jump with
Mr. Unlimited
here on the program on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And, you know, one team that will not be partaking in January and February playoff football is my Seattle Seahawks. You know, unfortunately, they've been knocked out of the playoffs, and you know, it's unfortunate, but I can live. I will live. I will soldier on. I'll be okay. But I will tell you, this is a pretty wild deal with the Seahawks. Get this. The Seahawks are the first team, Matt, in NFL history to finish the season with a winning record, with a win on Sunday. They'll finish 10-7. With a loss, they'll be 9-8, so they're still going to be above 500. They'll be the first team in NFL history to finish the season with a winning record despite losing six home games. Six home games. And we talked about that with Mr. Collar a couple weeks ago. I said, Seahawks home field advantage, it's not the same as it was in those 2012 and 13 and 14 seasons. The Seahawks are now, I believe it's 20-22 in their last 42 home games. So
wow.
It's one of those deals. It's just not the same. It's not the same crowd. It's not the same level of juice. It's also not the same team. But thought that was kind of interesting that they will not be in the playoffs despite being the first team in NFL history to lose six home games and win double digits. Pretty wild.
Yeah, it is really wild. And they have a chance to be 10-7 with that going on, which is pretty spectacular. I know when we were talking before the season started, you said you'd be happy with 10-7 and a push for the playoffs. And
that's what they're at.
Yeah, that's what they're at. But you also, if you win two home games, you're in the playoffs and you might have 12 wins. And we were texting a little bit over the Christmas break, and we were talking a little bit about that Seahawks-Bears game that was just a bad game. And we were talking about, hey, Seattle, they still have a chance. And I said, well, if they beat the Giants, whatever week that was at home,
week five,
they probably would be in the playoffs. So you got to take care of business on your home field. And as a fan, I can only imagine how frustrating that is, not being able to protect your home field.
No doubt about it. No question about it. And they should have beat the Giants then. They should have beat the Rams the first time, but Geno Smith threw three awful, awful interceptions. Well, two of them were really awful. The other one was off a tip pass. But yeah, beat the Giants at home, and we're not even having this conversation right now. But you mentioned the Seahawks and Bears game. I shouldn't do this, but I will. I love my in-laws. I do. You know, some people, they really don't get along with their in-laws. They really don't. They can't quite see eye to eye with them. You know, you ruined my daughter's life. No, boy, she could have done a lot better than you. No, it's not like the case like that at all. I love my wife. I love my family. I love my in-laws. But doggone it, man, when you're watching a Seahawks game and the Bears game, with two people that really don't know football, I think it's pretty fair to say I know football.
Sure.
There are people that know more than me. I'm not going to say that I'm the be-all, end-all with football knower.
You're a fan.
I'm a fan, you know. But after every play, why did they do that? Why did he push him out of bounds? Why didn't he just tackle him? Can you push him out of bounds? Can you do that? Oh, hands to the – what is that? Is every play there was something new, a new question to answer. And, Matt, you know me. I'm a diehard Seattle Seahawks fan. When I want to watch the game, I am so dialed in. I'm so zoned in. And, oh, by the way, they won the game 6-3. Not like they blew them out 48-0. It was an awful football game.
Worst of the season.
It was so bad. And after every play, I'm getting a new question just tossed my way. I'm like, how did you – are you – I was having a hard time.
It's a hard time to focus on the game. And the game, it's not going your way either, which – definitely made that even harder than what it already was. But yeah, that kind of sounds like my younger brother Mark when he was younger. He'd ask my dad all kinds of questions when about the games and everything like that. My dad was actually we were out to dinner with some friends, and he was retelling that story, and it just cracks me up because he's still kind of like that today, just always asking questions. Hey, Dad, who was that? What happened there? Did he play here before then? Where did he go to college, Dad? That's
right. All of those. All of the questions. And you know, when people say there's no such thing as a stupid question, Sure about that? I don't know. No.
In a 6-3 Seattle Chicago game, yes, there is.
Sometimes there can be a stupid question, but yeah, that was tough. And again, I do have that modifier, that clarifier. I do love my in-laws. They're great people. They are, but just not exactly diehard sports fans, I will tell you that. So also over the holiday weekend, there are a couple things that I saw that very much piqued my interest. One of them here on the local side of things, got to give some love to our guy, Paul Roche, the head coach of the Castlewood boys basketball squad. He becomes the fourth coach in state history to amass the 600 career win plateau. Big shout out to Paul Roche, a friend of the program. We've had him on many times. And just a big shout out to him. 600 wins, no small feat.
Yeah, I mean, what a heck of a coach. He just has a winning culture wherever he goes. When he was at Lankford for all those years before going to Castlewood, they were always a competitive team. They did a lot of winning there. Since they've been to Castlewood, they've been a powerhouse in Class B over the last couple of years. Now they're trying to get over the hump and win the whole thing. But every year since he's been at Castlewood, you say, hey, they're going to be state tournament bound or have hopes to be state tournament bound. Not surprised there. Congratulations, Coach Roche.
And I don't think there's any question that they will be
lurking
here in 2025. That's a good word to describe it, and certainly a lot of people have them kind of pegged as a Class B state-bound team. We'll have to wait and see. They still have to get through the season. Hopefully they get through healthy, and if you can believe it, we're about 2.5 months away from the state tournament here in the Hub City. Also of note, saw this over the weekend. Over the holiday weekend, actually it was on January 1st, Tucker Kraft, of course, of the Green Bay Packers, an SDSU guy, he said on X, it was a privilege to play for SDSU. Ultimately, it prepared me for the NFL. When I had a chance to leave the program for money, it was the same coaches who are urging you to leave that urged me to stay. Not every path presents itself is the one that is worth taking. Think critically. And that's a close quote there from Tucker Kraft. But I thought that was interesting because we're seeing so many players going into the portal, players going here, players going there. And SDSU, you talk about winning culture. They've got a great culture. I just thought that was interesting. It's just like, do you really need to leave for an extra $5,000 or $6,000? I mean, you're dangling that kind of a carrot in front of a college athlete's face. You want to take it, but mm-hmm. I don't know. It's interesting to me.
Yeah, I think he's just saying pretty much think before you do. I think it's kind of the takeaway I have from that. And doesn't SDSU, they got a new coach in there now.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I saw that. I texted you. I was shocked. You know, that was Jimmy Rogers. That was his first year at the helm. He's been there before. But, yeah, he's going to Washington State now. They got a new guy in there. And, you know, I know that's kind of off topic of what we were talking about there. But I agree with Tucker Kraft with that. Just think before you do something like that.
Speaking of think before you do, you saw the story over the weekend about Cam Ward, yes?
Yes, I did see this.
This one blows my mind. You know, this one really, really blows my mind. And I even tweeted this out. I think I might still be up there on my X account. In a sane world, in a rational world, if a player did something like this, they would immediately be taken off of draft boards everywhere. Mm-hmm. But we don't live in a sane world. We don't live in a rational world. Tukes, what are you talking about? Cam Ward is a quarterback, and he played for the first half of their bowl game. And then in the second half, after he hit his milestones or whatever that he wanted to hit, he said, that's it for me. I'm done. I'm going to sit in the second half. And I thought to myself, if I were bleeding, if I were sweating, and if I were crying, you know, through the, not OTAs, but fall camp, and in the high heat, the humidity of Florida, and you're battling through all of these games, only for your teammate to just be like, well,
good.
Yeah, it's good. I'm good here. You know, you guys figure it out. You know, yeah, I'm not going to be here for the rest of this game. I could not imagine the anger that I would have if I were a left tackle or a running back or a wide receiver, or a coach, a fan of that team. I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, I had a problem with it. I thought if you weren't going to play, just don't play.
Don't play.
Don't strap it up and go out there and play a half and be like, you know what? I'm good for the second half. You guys, good luck. I'll support you guys, but I'm good. If you don't want to play, don't play. I saw that. I agree with you. I have a problem with that. If you want to play the game, go 100%. Play the full game. Don't play a half and then check out at halftime because you're good, because you got the stats you want. And the funny thing about it is it probably won't hurt his draft stock because, like you said, the world we live in, he's probably going to be still a number one, number two, number three pick in the draft, and he'll have an opportunity to start somewhere. And You know, it kind of is a similar situation to, like, with Anthony Richardson a little bit with the Colts. Like, he's got a lot of the physical skills, but are you – you know, remember, Richardson tapped himself out during a game for the Colts this year. It's kind of similar but different in the same way.
Yeah, and I think you're spot on. And it's one of those situations where this is not August 15th. This is not week two of the NFL preseason.
Yeah.
This is a bowl game. You know, bowl games used to mean something. Hey, check out our trophy case over there. There's the Sugar Bowl. Remember when we won the Fiesta Bowl? Oh, we did that back in 96. Man, that final play, what a great effort we had that season. Oh, there's the 24 trophy over there. And that's the one that our quarterback, he just said he's good for the second half. I can't believe that. And to your point, if you don't want to play, don't play. You know, we'll probably get knocked for that too. But in some cases, rightfully so. Other people would say other ways, and that's fine. But to only play a half, that is so weak.
Yeah, I think it is. I just think because what kind of message are you sending to your teammates? That's my thing. Like I think the guys that were his teammates would have had maybe a different perspective on it. Maybe there's guys that are like, hey, we love Cam Ward. But I'm looking at it from my point of view. If I was on the field and I saw that, I wouldn't have been happy with it as a teammate.
No, I would not be either. You know, this is a final game for a lot of those seniors. What about those?
How about the ninth-year guy?
Yeah, right. No kidding. Yeah, what about those guys that have been there for so many years and getting through red shirts and tearing ACLs and, you know, working their way back from injury? This is their final game. They have put everything on the line for that school, that culture, that program, that fan base, that coach, and then to have one of their players just be like, yeah, I'll see you boys out there. Good luck. And pat on the
butt.
Would
you have done that in a college football game, playoff game? Would you have done it then?
Probably.
Don't do it here.
Yeah, exactly. That blew me away. That totally knocked my socks off. Coming up next on the show, we're talking some high school basketball from last night. Also, previews of the game for this upcoming weekend. We'll talk some Northern State news and notes. Also, don't forget, towards the bottom of the hour, Brian Hoagie, the head coach of the Ipswich Tiger girls basketball squad. He'll join us as well. Rocking and rolling on a Friday installment of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Glad to be with you on this third day of the month of January. New Year's resolutions? Anything like that for you?
Well, I've been saying this on my morning show on Fezzik Country 103, but I'm trying to track my calories. So everything I eat, it could be anything, but I'm just trying to track it. So I'm trying to stay on track that way. That's like the one thing I'm going to try to do this year.
You know, one thing you never hear, people say, you know, I think I'm really going to drink more.
Dry January.
Yeah, oh boy, that's rough stuff. That's rough stuff. I should say that, though, on my morning show. You know what's my New Year's resolution? I think I'm going to drink a lot more red wine this year. I feel good about that. More Heinekens, more Blue Moons, got to squeeze that orange in there.
Yes.
And you were texting, or actually you were telling me off the air before we started the show today, I didn't bring any of the Spotted Cow back when I was in Wisconsin.
I saw your tweet of the Spotted Cow.
Yeah.
And I just liked it. I'm like, oh, I like that stuff. And then when I knew you were coming back today, I'm like, oh, shoot, I should have texted you to get me a case of that. Because it's only in Wisconsin. And I tried it this summer. One of my friends was actually visiting for the Brown County Fair in August.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, I'm in Wisconsin. I got this stuff, you know, the Spotted Cow.
Yeah,
New Glarus. You got to give it a try. And I was like, okay. I had it. I'm like, this stuff's awesome. Where can you get it? He's like, only in Wisconsin. The more you know.
The more you know. And also, the next time you go to Wisconsin, try, I believe it's Moon Man.
Moon Man?
That's another New Glarus beer.
Okay.
That's another, because they're also, New Glarus is the brewing company.
Uh-huh.
They're the brewery, and they make the Spotted Cow, but they also make Moon Man, I believe it is.
Okay.
So, not just, we like diversity here. It's not just one beer, multiple beers.
Well, I saw the
but
right before we went on Christmas vacation, I texted you about the new Northern beer that
yes.
I saw there in
Alpha
stores.
Lager. Yep.
I haven't tried it yet, but I did see it. I gotta try it.
I got a 6-pack of Alpha Lager in my man cave cooler,
there
which
you
will
go.
Be clearing out soon because of baby number 2 arriving in March or April, we'll see. But haven't cracked it yet, but it's there. It's cold. It's ready to go. So maybe at some point in time this weekend. But that's it. That's our segment here. We're talking beer on the Sports Hub. No. So to segue out of that, we're talking some high school athletics. Good luck with the segue there. But beyond that, how about some high school girls basketball? Aberdeen Roncalli, a nice win last night over Warner. 57-40, your final score there. Maddie Huber, a game-high 16 points. Roncalli also got 11 from Ava Hansen. Of course, don't forget, she's a Northern commit for next year. Claire Crawford does a mean... mean job on the links, I guess you could say. She's a really good golfer. She's also a pretty good three-point shooter there as well. She had 9 as Roncalli comes away with a 17-point victory there at home over Warner last night.
Yeah, good win. Warner's a really good program in Class B, and Aberdeen Roncalli, they've gotten off to a good start this season. Claire Crawford, she's a sniper from three. Really can just shoot behind the arc, and if she gets going, watch out, because you know what you're going to get from Huber and Hansen. If you get that third from Crawford, she can score from the outside. It just spreads the floor a little bit better in the half court. Really nice win for Roncalli.
Got a couple of tough matchups upcoming here, the Cavaliers do. And I say tough, but on paper it might not be. On the road at Sisseton, that, in theory, is a pretty tough game.
That'll be a tough game.
But the Redmen are only 2-3 to start the season. That's kind of surprising.
Yeah, it is surprising. They played AA Mitchell at the Hoops Classic. I was actually listening to that game on my way back here to Aberdeen, and they were winning pretty much that whole game. And then Mitchell had a big surge late in the second half. How about this here, too, Tukes? Krista Longager for Sisseton, she had 17 points and 10 rebounds in the first quarter.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And lost?
And lost. She finished with 31 and 20.
Sheesh.
17 and 10 in the first quarter. I was like, whoa.
I don't know if I've ever seen that before.
Yeah. It's crazy.
That is wild. But you don't want to use the word waste, but you hate to waste a performance like that in a loss. But it is what it is. But then you'll take on Falk. Then they're off to a solid start. They're 3-2 on the road at Clark Willow Lake. They're 4-1 on the road at Groton, 3-1. So it's kind of a no-days-off scenario for Aberdeen Roncalli. But a nice win for them last night against Warner. Other matchups of note, Faith Larson, 16 points and 10 rebounds for Wabe Summit. They defeat Elkton Lake Benton last night, 40-25. Isabella Anderson pours in 15. Milbank defeats Florence Henry on the road, 51-34, while Emery Vandervoorst has 17 for North Central in a 5-point victory over Timber Lake. On the boys' side of things, Patrick Maynard with a game-high 22, but it's in a loss. Hitchcock Tulare falls to Potter County, 62-49. Jet Simon with 18. Landon Larson chipping in 14 as well. A little more balance there from the Potter County perspective. Northwestern edges Bennett County in did more than edge them. They beat them by 21 points, 60-39. Woolsey Wessington, they get past Kadoka, 68-62. Trayvon Beckman gets 26 points, 11 rebounds, 9 steals. You don't see stat lines like that too often. A near triple-double performance with steals as Del Rapids St. Mary defeats DeSmet 56-48. I think both of those programs have Aberdeen in their crosshairs in mid-March. Would not be surprised to see both of them there. That's a really good early-season test for both of those programs, but the Cardinals 8 points better there.
Yeah, and that 9 steals caught me off guard there, too, cause from Beckman. I mean, you just don't see that. It's almost like DeSmet was throwing him the ball, and he was just being able to steal it and go the other way, but big-time performance. I think DeSmet, they're still trying to work some things out with some kids that graduated from last year's team and that program. But, you know, seeing Grant Wilkinson getting better. I mean, 18-15 is a big-time game. Big double-double.
We were talking about this off the air, and I don't think I'm speaking out of school to say this, but you could see last year at the state tournament, offensively, he wasn't much of a threat. He was a little bit of a threat, but it was more defense out there. Feels like offensively he's taken some big strides this
year. Yeah, I think he's being more of a scorer. He just seems, you know, just from the stats, we haven't seen him much, but it seems to me that he's getting a little bit more comfortable in the paint with the ball in his hands. I mean, we were talking a little bit about it during the state tournament when they played Castlewood. He was giving Brian Lowey, a lot of trouble down there just because of his size, his girth in the paint.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a little bit raw offensively. I think, you know, he's turning a corner that way.
Damon, there was a grace to his game as a big man for DeSmet. Now, obviously, you're seeing that in Brookings at SDSU. There wasn't a whole lot of grace for Grant Wilkinson on the floor last year. I think you're starting to see that a little bit this year. So he's off to a great start in his, I think, junior campaign, if memory serves correctly.
Yeah, I think so.
I think he's a junior. I might have to double check on that one. Elsewhere, you had Travion Nealon pour in 24 points as Wabe Summit they would actually fall to Elkton Lake Benton 57-43. Other final scores of note: Clark Willow Lake over Milbank 52-35. Emerson Larson, 21 points, really good quarterback, also has a pretty nasty jump shot there as well, evidently, for the Cyclones. You also had Dell Rapids down Mobridge Pollock at home 59-39. And Timberlake Big over North Central behind Cole Ducheneau's 17 points. Check out HubCityRadio.com for full and complete details within the region of high school basketball from yesterday. Speaking of within the region, Ipswich, they are just out west to us here in Aberdeen. Over there in Edmonds County, we'll talk with the head coach of the Tigers, Brian Hoagie, after this. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial and online at HubCityRadio.com. If you're just joining us, where the heck have you been? But we'll have the show posted following the program here today on our website, HubCityRadio.com. Let's jettison out to Edmonds County. The head coach of the Ipswich Tigers is Brian Hoagie, joining us on the phone line. Coach, thanks for taking some time this morning. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
It is our pleasure, for sure. So was Santa Claus very, very kind to the Hoagie family out there? I know you got some youngsters out there. How was everything for the Christmas holiday?
Christmas was good. It was a nice long break for everybody, and you know, we're kind of excited to get things going again.
For sure, for sure. All right, good stuff. I got some new shoes. Santa Claus provided some new shoes for Tewksbury. There's only so much tape can do, you know?
Yeah, I got these new headphones, can you tell?
I was going to say, those are nice. Those
are
slick.
Yeah, I got these, yeah.
All right, big stuff. Moving on up in the world.
Yeah.
All good things. All right, well, the squad off to a pretty decent start here as well, Coach. And the first thing that jumps off the page to me, and it's always been a staple of your programs, has been defense. And holding North Central to 39 points just before Christmas, to me, kind of jumps off the page. I'm sure we'll talk about that. But what's kind of your overall thoughts, kind of global thoughts on the squad and the start to the season for you guys?
It's a good start for us. You know, we're coming off a season last year where we only had 4 wins, I think 5 years, five wins the year before that. You know, so to start off here and go 3-2 in the first 5 games before the Christmas break is good. You know, our girls have come out. We practiced hard. They played hard. They played really hard over the last couple of years. It's just the difference right now is we're finally starting to be able to make a few baskets. You know, we kind of struggled with that the last couple of years, but we're finding a way to get some points on the board, which has really been beneficial. And we're building confidence each and every game now.
Yeah, you're grinding out games, you're playing some good defense, but you're scoring a little bit more, Coach, being in the 40s, and that's all you could ask, right? Kind of being in these games late, and it's either going to go one way or the other, and you feel pretty good about the defense. It's all about just getting better offensively.
It is. You know, we talked about that, you know, a lot the last couple of years because we've had the same group of girls coming through. And, you know, our goal is always try to get ourselves to 40. You know, if you get yourself to 40, you're going to be in a ball game. You know, in the last couple of years, we just weren't getting there. We were in the low 30s. Which would really kind of allow teams to pull away from us a little bit at the end. But this year, outside of one game, we shot, you know, 35-40%, which is great for us. We're getting ourselves into 40 points, and that allows us to be in ball games, which is huge. You learn so much more when you're in competitive ball games, and they're building confidence as they go along, too, which is huge for us.
Head Coach Brian Hoagie joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and it's something that Paula Kruger always says from the Northern perspective, and she's so spot on with it, is players are never trying to miss. You're always trying to make the shot, but you know, it's one of those things. It's a make or miss league. It's a make or miss game. How do you keep, especially young high school girls, confident when the offense isn't there?
You just got to keep talking to them. You keep working on it in practice. You know, even for us the last couple of years, it's even been just layups. Like, we're just missing layups, and that becomes a confidence issue, and that leads to shooting bad everywhere else on the floor. So, you know, we really started there over the last couple of years, and we've built a lot of confidence there. So you have to make a few more of those. You're going to make a few more jump shots. You're going to make a few more free throws. And you just kind of build up. Try to get like, the easy ones first, make the easy play. And if you can get those ones to fall, things go a little bit better. And then you start building that confidence from the three-point line and things like that once you get there.
You guys are really well rested here, Coach, and January is kind of a grind type of month. A lot of games in the month of January across the state with all, you know, a lot of teams. So you guys got that rest you want, and, you know, you can start the new year off strong, right?
Yeah, yeah. So we haven't played now for 2 weeks. You know, we took the whole last week off, basically, and got back into it this week without having any games until Saturday. So, you know, the kids were able to get away. They were able to spend some family time, which is great. We're not having to pull them away from there. So, you know, like I said, we're excited to get back. you know, I think we got three games coming up, and then we have another week-long break to work on some things again. So it's always nice just to get some practice time in to work on some of those things, because once you get mid-January into February, you kind of lose that practice time, and it's always game plan, and it's always getting ready for the next game. So, you know, we're excited to have that time, but we're also excited and itching to get back at it.
Yeah, that's just it. As you're preparing for the next opponent, you really don't have time to kind of fine-tune things of your, you know, your ilk, you know, be it offense or defense. But I do want to go back to that North Central win, because I believe it's pronounced Amory. Amory Vandervoorst has been filling up box scores left and right. She was in double figures again last night. She had 17 points. But to hold them, North Central, to 39 points, can you kind of unpack that one? Because I feel like that's a pretty big win for you guys.
It was. It was a huge one for us. You know, it's a competitive ball game for us the last couple of years, and they've gotten taken. They've beaten us here probably about three or four times in a row now. So, you know, that's a big confidence booster for us. And, you know, we understood that she's a great ball player. She shoots the ball really well. She doesn't miss very many open shots. We did a nice job with her, trying to deny her as much as we could early in the ball game, and she still ended up getting double digits against us. She ended up hitting about three threes there in the fourth quarter. We got a little tired and just kind of lost her, but you know, that's a big part of it. If you can take away the other team's best players sometimes, that makes a world of a difference for us. And I thought we did a good job of that early in the game and kind of frustrated them a little bit, and they struggled making some shots later on in the game. So that was a huge game for us, like I said, just building confidence with every win that we get.
When you're playing somebody like that who fills up the stat sheet with points, is it kind of the mentality, coach, hey, she's going to get hers, but we want to make her work for it? Or are you doing something maybe to try to slow her down? What's kind of your mentality when you're playing a great player?
Yeah, we want to slow her down as much as we can. So I think we have a very good on-ball defender in Brieg Dietz. And, you know, she spent most of the time, and we played a little more man that game than what we usually do, and she did a great job on her throughout the game. And then, you know, you kind of switch things up defensively. Like I said, we flip-flop between a man. We've ran a lot of 2-3 zones since I've been here, so we always kind of go back to that. But, you know, it's always understanding, talking, and communicating about where she's at. She's got to try not to leave her any open shots, because once she hits one, open one, she's going to be able to hit with a hand in her face. So, you know, that was our big goal, and we did a great job, I thought, in that first half of that, just not giving her any space or any open look. So, and like I said, having Bree out there, athletic young girl that just plays hard, and she did a great job on her to start the game.
Brian Hoagie joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5 daily sports talk show, Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. So now that it's a new year, is it new year, same Tigers, or new year? Like, we're talking about resolutions earlier on the program. What do you guys need to kind of clean up into the new year to kind of maybe take this season to the next level?
For us, it always comes back down to scoring. Like I said, we got some good length. Our girls play hard. We can do some different things. It's just being able to consistently put the ball in the bucket. You know, if we can get ourselves at that 40, 45 point range, you know, we always talk about 40, now we're trying to talk about 45. We can be a problem for a lot of teams on our schedule, but we got to consistently find ourselves to getting ourselves there and making our easy layups and stuff like that will come a long ways for us.
Looking at your squad here, coach, in Region 6 in Class B, always a pretty tough region to come out of. I know you don't want to look too far ahead, but you got to like when you have played those kind of regional matchups, you know, North Central, you know, Faulkton, those kinds of teams, you've been able to compete.
Yeah, we have. And like I said, I think we're going to compete with everybody. And, you know, and it just comes down to who's going to score more buckets at the end. But it is. We got a good region. We play in the LRC, which is a great conference also. So if you're battle-tested, that really helps come playoff time and you're ready to compete. And the more close games we're in now, the more battle-tested we're going to be come that playoff time.
Couple more here with Brian Hoagie on FSA. You mentioned Brieg Dietz and the defensive job that she's done so far this season. Who are some of the other players so far that have kind of jumped off the page to you and maybe taken their game to the next level this season?
I think top to bottom, I think all our girls have taken a big step. We're playing about eight deep right now, and they've all made huge strides, and they all played last year. Like, we had a ton of freshmen and sophomores on the floor last year. Now they're juniors, and they're sophomores and they're seniors now, and they've all taken huge steps just scoring-wise. You know, Gabby Wald's probably our leading scorer right now, but off of her, you were usually going to get a girl that's going to – about three other girls are going to get themselves between that 6 to 8 to 10 points. And then somebody usually ends up going off one of those nights too. So we have a lot of girls that can do a lot of different things for us, which has been huge. Like I said, if somebody's having an off night, you know, Gabby doesn't have an off night, we have other girls. And Marley Guthmiller has really stepped up athletically for us. I think she's getting to be about 8 points and 10 rebounds right now probably. So her rebounding for us, especially in the offensive end, has been huge for us.
Yeah, and I think offensive rebounding at the girls, high school girls level is so key, because you mentioned it when we were talking a little bit earlier about, hey, you had a lot of missed layups. And I feel like offensive rebounding, having those second chance points, can be huge for teams in the game and those little battles in the paint. What's your thoughts on, offensive rebounding?
Yep, because a lot of missed shots. It seems like this year, between both teams, we see a lot of teams that are shooting 30-some%. We can test shooters pretty well, so we know that we're going to give up. We're going to have to rebound well defensively, and then we know we're going to miss some shots. We got to rebound offensively. You know what's going to happen. The more people you can get there and still get people back, the better off you're going to be, and it does. It's cost us a couple games, I think, our defensive rebounding. When we look back to the Webster game, we gave up a ton of offensive rebounds, and they were able to get second, third shots, and they were able to beat us in a close ball game. We got to clean that kind of stuff up. But rebounding is huge. It really is.
Well, final one before we get you out of here. Timberlake tomorrow, weather permitting. I'm seeing some things a little more West River. It's a little more dicey with some weather forecasts and what have you, with some perhaps snowfall. But weather permitting, that's the matchup tomorrow at noon. What's that kind of looking like for you guys?
It's going to be a battle. I think every game that we're going to be in this year, we're matched up pretty well with them. Two teams that like to try to get up and down a little bit, and like to try to shoot the three. We like to shoot the three and maybe a little more than what we should, but we do like to shoot it, and they like to shoot it too a little bit. So it's going to come down to who's probably going to be able to rebound a little better defensively and offensively, and who's be able to get some more of those easy layups around the basket.
Well, if memory serves correctly, wasn't this the first time you guys played Timberlake in football? You said you never played them before, and then you beat them this last fall, right?
Correct. Yep. Yes. That was the first time we played them. We played them in basketball last year, so this would be our second matchup with them. They came to the switch last year and beat us here last year. So,
looking forward to perhaps returning the favor here a little bit with a little
different team this year.
Yeah.
Different team this year. That's right. Like I said, we're playing with a lot more confidence, which is huge for us.
Good deal. All right, Coach. Well, we appreciate you joining us here on the show. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and continued success here this season.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Have a good day.
Okay, you too. Thanks so much. Head coach Brian Hoge here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, friend of the program. And, he always does a great job with that squad for sure. And looking forward to seeing what they have. And I think it's a spot-on assessment, not only from you, but him as well, is you get a lot of those missed layups. And it's not just a high school thing. Northern blew the doors off of Minot couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
They missed a lot of layups in that game too. I'm like, they could have had 100 points in that game. So it's not just a high school girls thing. Mm-hmm. It happens. It just happens.
Yeah, if you can control the glass, one, and two, be able to score off those second chance points. You look at second chance points sometimes, you don't think it's a big stat. I think it's huge.
Oh yeah.
Because especially with, a lot of missed shots you see, if you can control the offensive glass, that's great. But you also have to capitalize off of those opportunities. And I think for the most part, Ipswich has done that. A big reason why they're 3-2, and they've been in the 40s a little bit more consistently. But in the same breath, it has cost them, like you said, in that Webster game. So it's rebounding, being able to be aggressive on the offensive glass, but have to control the defensive glass. And, that's why Coach Kruger of Northern State is so big on rebounding.
No doubt about it. I'm looking at Class B right now. It's an absolute log jam. You throw an entire blanket over a lot of these teams. You're like, oh, that team could win it all this year. Oh, that team could win it all this year. You look at some of these teams right now, McLaughlin, they're ranked 23rd in the standings in terms of power points. They're 5-2. I mean, that's a pretty good start. Coleman Egan is 6-2. They're in 20th right now. So, Class B is very, very, I don't want to say necessarily bloated. I don't know if it's loaded. It's just kind of a lot of teams that are good, not great.
Competitive.
Competitive, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
a
good word.
You got a lot of these teams. Warner's 29th. They're 3-3.
Yeah.
You look at DeSmet, 3-2, 34th. Highmore Herald, 3-1, 29th. So I think it's, like you said, it's going to be a log jam. I think when these teams start to play each other, you're going to start seeing a little bit more separation. But I think it's a very competitive Class B, and we'll see what happens here in January.
Northern State is taking on Duluth tonight. We'll talk about that coming up next, as well as Aberdeen Central. They are playing host to Yankton for high school boys hoops tomorrow as well, as we'll get an early glance at that one coming up next right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen.
Rocking and rolling on a finally Friday installment of the Sports Hub on FSA. Of course, back at it on Monday of next week. Reminder, Sideliners Luncheon Series today at 12 noon for Northern State Hoops and other athletics there as well. Looking forward to that. That's at Buffalo Wild Wings today at 12 noon. Big one tomorrow out at Golden Eagles Arena as the Aberdeen Central boys. They will welcome in the likes of Yankton, a team that ended their season in the SODAC 16 2 years ago. And that's a big one for the Golden Eagles because they kind of have to get off the schneid here a little bit, right?
Yeah, you know, they started off 0-4. They've been in every game. I mean, you look at what's been going on. They should have beat Rapid City Central to start the year. They just really couldn't get anything going against Stevens. Made a late comeback, almost actually won that game. And then they struggled out west versus Spearfish and Sturgis. They're just not scoring at a high enough level right now. You know, Brett Norberg, he didn't think that was going to be, you know, something that they got to improve on this year. Going in, he was really happy with, you know, the offensive performances, you know, throughout the offseason and practice. And now the kind of the game plans changed a little bit. They had a lot of time off. And Yankton's in a similar situation. They're 0-3. They played really tough competition. You know, they played a couple of those Sioux Falls teams. And they battled to the end, so it's not going to be easy. I think the time off really helped Central because you can kind of get back to the drawing board a little bit and got to start off the new year strong. That's a big game for the Golden Eagles there tomorrow.
Yeah, sometimes you have to kind of maybe even scheme something up when your offense just isn't there. And, you know, Brendan Phillips, of course, hit that game winner against Watertown last year, if memory serves,
Yep. That
big three from the wing. And, you know, he was kind of that guy that we were looking at to begin this season saying, you know, he might have to carry that team offensively to a degree. Sounds like he's had a good start to the season. He just needs a little bit more extra help.
That's exactly right. He's been great. I mean, he can bring the ball up the floor. He can shoot the three. He can get to the basket. He's a do-it-all type player. But they just got to get other contributions, whether it's in the paint. When they work the ball inside, good things happen. It's just when they get in the half court, they struggle to kind of get the ball inside. And that's was going to be my next point. You got to take care of the basketball. They really struggled with that at home versus Rapid City Central and Stevens. I mean, they were 25-plus turnovers in both those games. They got to be able to take care of the ball.
As for the Central girls, they'll be on the road at Yankton. That'll be tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
They're a fun team.
I was going to say, I didn't get a chance to talk to you about this, but I was listening to your broadcast a couple of Saturdays ago as I was getting ready for the Northern and Minot game, driving around and here at the studio listening in, and I'm thinking to myself, in that first quarter, you talk about Long Auger going off for, what, 17-10? Lauren Burkhard went absolutely ham, and she finished with, what, 33?
33. I mean, she's incredible. I mean, really taking a step from freshman year to sophomore year. You're seeing it on full display. And it's not like, you know, they're working the ball a lot better. You know, they're reversing the ball to the other wing, working it inside. You know, it seemed like they tried to force some things last year. It seems a little bit more natural this year. Peyton Burkhart's doing a great job there to start. They're playing with a lot of confidence. And, you know, Burkhart's been the star of the show. But it's been the others that have been able to take care of the ball and give her opportunities to be in good situations. And, wow, I mean, they played that triple overtime game versus Spearfish, first home game of the season. I mean, this is going to be a fun season, I think, for the Golden Eagles girls.
Yeah, I was on the call of that Crookston game, and I was thinking to myself, oh, this is the first home game for Coach Peyton Burkhard. How are they doing? And I shot you a text, and you're like, we're in triple overtime right now, bro. So, I mean, what a memorable night for them defeating Spearfish. And not just that, you come on back the next day and you beat Sturgis. You know, I think you hit the nail on the head in the pregame show. It's like, yeah, last night was great, but it means nothing if we can't come on back the next day, not even 24 hours later, and prove it again. And they did. So, yeah, the sample size is very small. It's only four games, but I think that team's going to be a lot of fun this year.
I think they are. I mean, you know, you got to remember, they did start 8-1 last year, and then they lost 11-12. So, you just got to stay the course, take it one game. I know it's coaches speak, but you do in this situation because, you know, you did start the season last year 8-1.
Coaches speak detector. Oh, you're not right. You're not wrong, though. You're not wrong. But as Bill Parcells would say, we just got to put the anointing oils away and just take it one game at a time. But looking forward to that matchup down south tomorrow in Yankton. And, of course, the boys there at home from Golden Eagles Arena. As for Northern State, they are bringing in Duluth. That is tonight at 5:30 and 7:30. Ladies first, gentlemen second.
They'll make the conference switch. I believe it's on January the 17th. That's when the men will go first and the ladies will be second. But the last,
I like that they do that, by the way.
I do, too. I do. I thought for so many years it was the men team being second. And, you know, a lot of times, depending on what school, you have, like, the men's team that is just really having a tough time and the women's game. And you're like, we want to watch the women's team play. And,
in prime time.
In prime time. And this year, the Northern women have been off to a good start. And the Northern guys, you know, obviously, you know, they're not, from the wins and losses perspective where they want to be. But I said this to my parents over the Christmas break. They're 0-6 in conference play, and four of their six losses are coming by two possessions or less.
I was going to say, they're playing
hard. They're right
hard.
There. I mean, you take a look at their season, you're like, oh, they're 1-11, the sky is falling, they're 0-6 in conference play. What a bad team. They're not that bad. It's just there's a couple of little things here or there, a possession here or there. They didn't box out here or there. And it's just like you have to find a way to finish some of these games. But people that are like, oh, man, this team is off to a terrible start. And from the wins and losses perspective, they are off to a bad start, but they're not a bad team.
No, I agree. I was listening to the Minot game on my way back here, and, you know, they competed. And that's a Minot team. I think, weren't they undefeated?
They were 12th in the country.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You were right in that game. So, you can look at the numbers and say, hey, 1-11, that stinks. But you got to look a little bit deeper. The kids are playing hard. They just got to put it all together. And, you know, maybe it starts tonight versus Minnesota Duluth, a really good team.
Last time Duluth was in town for the women, remember how that one ended?
I do. One of the best games of last year.
Oh, man. What an absolute blast that was. And Duluth is in town here tonight at 5:30. I think head coach Paula Kruger says we don't need to sweat that one out as much. Can we win this one in regulation? We'll see how it all plays out. Concordia St. Paul is 16th in the country for the women. That's tomorrow at 4 o'clock. That's going to be a really, really good indicator to see where this team is, I think, going forward in the second half of the season. All right. He's the Cobra. I'm Tukes. We're back at it on Monday.